David is a practical man. He builds things. He has run a small crew for over 20 years. And the thing he is proudest of is that his people earn every dollar they make. No favors, no handouts, no owing anyone anything. So when his daughter showed him the last episode, the one about the jar, the idea that the way we give to each other could be the problem, David watched the whole thing, and then he said something like this. That sounds nice. But isn't that just charity with a better name? And honestly, good for David. Because that is the right question to ask, and it deserves a real answer, not a wave of the hand. If the giving economy we talked about last time is just a dressed-up handout, then David is right to be suspicious of it. Handouts can feel good to the person giving them, and quietly wrong to the person on the receiving end. They can keep people in the position of always needing, always waiting for someone else to give them what they need. David doesn't want that for his people, and neither do we. So let's take his doubt seriously, because once we answer it for real, the doubt itself becomes the strongest case for what we're actually saying. Before we can answer David, we have to be sharp about what charity actually means, because the word gets used loosely, and that's where the confusion starts. Charity, in the clearest sense, is a one-way gift. One person has something and gives it to another person who needs it. Money flows one direction, from the person who has to the person who doesn't. The person who receives does not give anything back. That's not a criticism. One-way giving is exactly right in a real emergency. If someone's house burns down tonight, the right move is not to hand them a price list. Sometimes what a person needs is a pure gift, with no strings, no trade, no expectation of anything in return. That's real and good. But notice what it requires. The receiver has nothing to offer. They are, in that moment, entirely on the receiving end. And that position, over time, as a permanent way of living, can wear a person down just as much as being the one who always gives. It's a different kind of empty. The person who only ever receives starts to feel that they have nothing worth giving. And that feeling, deep down, can be worse than being broke. Now here is the exact point where the jar parts ways with charity, and it's a clean break. In the jar, in what we're calling a giving economy, the design is the opposite. Nobody is only a giver, and nobody is only a receiver. Everyone both puts something in and draws something out. That's the whole point. The neighbor who fixes fences fixes a fence and later gets a meal. The woman with extra eggs trades them for a hand with the yard. The young man who drives people around gets help when his car needs work. Each person is giving something real: time, skill, eggs, a drive, a connection, and each person is getting something real. That is not charity. That is something much closer to earning. You put in, you get out. The difference is that what goes in is not always money, and what comes out is not always money, and the person you give to is not always the same person you get from. But everyone earns their place by what they contribute. So when David says, "I don't want handouts, I want my people to earn," he is actually describing the jar, not rejecting it. The jar is the shape where everyone earns. Now here's where some people get turned around, so let's go right at it. When we say giving economy, it sounds like we mean free. Like money is wrong, or profit is bad, or the whole thing collapses the second someone charges for anything. That is not what we mean, not even close. Think about the woman who makes jam and sells it at the market. She spent her time, her fruit, her jars, her skill. She names a fair price, an honest price that lets her keep making jam next season. The person who buys the jam pays that price, gets the jam, and goes home happy. Now ask, did she give anything? She gave her best work. She gave jam that is better than the store brand because she made it herself and she cares. She gave a fair deal, no tricks, no markups, because she could get away with it, no bait and switch. A fair, generous price for honest work is giving. It is giving because the spirit behind it is not, how much can I take from this person's, but how much can I offer for what this person needs? The jar does not say, no money. The jar says, no extraction, no taking more than your work is worth, no charging what the traffic will bear just because you can get away with it. A business can be in the jar. A price can be giving. The two are not opposites. Now let's step back and look at something bigger for a moment, because this isn't just a nice idea. People who study how giving and earning work in groups have found something that keeps coming up across many kinds of workplaces and communities. The people who go out of their way to help others, the ones who give their time and knowledge freely, who make connections, who do the small things without being asked. Those people tend to end up doing better over time, not worse. The catch is this. The ones who burn out are the ones giving in the old charity shape, pouring in one direction without anything coming back. The ones who do well are giving in the jar shape. They contribute freely, yes, but they also receive freely, and they are part of something where helping is the way everyone moves forward, not just the job of one tired person. And here's the thing that matters for David's worry. In those studies, the people who only take, the ones who let others do the work while they pocket the benefit, they can do fine for a while. But over time, the people around them figure it out. The shape shows who they are. David's crew has probably already felt this. There is always someone who doesn't pull their weight. The jar, as a shape, makes that visible, and a group that can see it can do something about it. All right, because David deserves the full answer, let's go at his deepest worry, because he hasn't said it yet, but I know it's there. If you set up a jar, a circle where everyone gives and everyone gets, won't some people just take and take and never put anything in? Won't the good people end up carrying the bad ones? Isn't that exactly what we were trying to get away from? This is not a weak objection. It's the right one. And here's the honest answer in two parts. The first part is, yes, some people will try. They always do. No shape fixes human nature. The second part is this. The charity shape actually makes it worse, not better. Here's why. When giving only flows one direction, when one person is supposed to pour and everyone else is supposed to receive, nobody is accountable for what they put in, because the whole point of charity is that the receiver isn't supposed to give anything. You can't spot the taker in a one-way shape because everyone in that shape is only taking. But in the jar, where everyone is expected to both give and get, the person who only reaches in and never drops anything in becomes obvious very quickly. They stand out. The jar doesn't remove the taker. It shows you where the taker is. And once you can see them, you can decide what to do about them. David's worry isn't solved by going back to the old one-way shape. The jar is the answer to his worry. Here's what I love about David's objection. He came in worried that the jar was soft, that it would let people coast on the work of others, that it sounded like the kind of thing said by people who have never had to meet payroll. And then you trace his own values all the way down. Earn your place, no handouts, everyone pulls their weight, people are strongest when they have something real to contribute. And you find that every single one of those values points straight at the jar, not away from it. David doesn't want a world where some people carry everyone else. Neither does the jar. David doesn't want people stuck in the position of always needing and never earning. Neither does the jar. The jar says, you have something worth giving. Put it in. The whole group puts it in. The whole group draws it out. Nobody carries it alone, and nobody rides for free. That is not charity. That is a crew. That is exactly what David already runs. And the jar is just what happens when you build that same thing into the rest of your life, not just the job site. Let's sit in the turn for a moment, because there's something here that surprised me the first time I thought it all the way through. In charity, what you receive is a gift. It belongs to you, yes, but you didn't earn it. And in the back of your mind, you know that. That knowledge, over time, can quietly eat at a person's sense of themselves. There's a kind of weight that comes with a gift you can't return. But in the jar, in the giving economy, what you draw out is yours because you earned it. You put something in. You made yourself useful to this group of people. You gave your best jam, your best fence work, your best hour of company. And what comes back to you is not a handout. It is the group saying, what you gave was worth something. We felt it. Here it comes back. That's a completely different feeling. That's the feeling of being somebody. And that is what David wants for his crew. Not charity, not pity, not a handout from above, but the clean feeling of having earned your place with people who know what your work is worth. The jar gives everyone that feeling, not just the people who happen to have the most money to give. Let's bring this home to your life, because the difference between charity and the jar stops being interesting the second it's just a story about David and a jar. So let me ask you three honest questions and actually sit with them. First, where in your life are you on the receiving end of pure charity? Not a bad thing. Just be honest. Is there a shape in your life where you are always getting but never getting to give back? Does that feel clean, or does it carry a weight? Second, where are you giving in the one-way shape, the well, and getting nothing back? Not because people are bad, but because the shape doesn't have a way for things to come back around. And third, where in your life is there already something like the jar? A relationship, a group, a crew, a family, where things actually flow both ways, where everyone earns their place, where you feel needed and not just helped. Be still a second. That third one matters, because the jar isn't a new thing you have to build from scratch. It is an old shape you already know, and this week is about making it one small step more real. Here is your one thing this week. And it is a give, not a self-check, not a grade, not a test, just one give. Find one place in your life that could be a jar, a family group, a street, a crew at work, a set of friends who've been doing things the one-way way for years. And give one thing into it in the jar shape, not charity, not a handout, something that earns its place because it is genuinely useful. A skill you have that someone in your group needs. An introduction between two people who should know each other. A hand with something you are actually good at. Drop it in. Put your name on it. Not to brag, but so people know this is a thing your circle does now. And then, when someone in your circle puts something back, a ride, a meal, a good hour of help, let it land. Don't wave it off. Don't say, oh, it was nothing. Say thank you, mean it, because what they gave you is not charity. It is what the jar sent back. You earned it. So that's David's doubt, and it's answered and flipped. A giving economy is not charity. Charity is one way, and one way shapes wear people out and keep them on the receiving end with nothing to earn. The jar is the opposite. Everyone puts in. Everyone draws out. Everyone earns their place. A fair price for honest work is giving. A crew where everyone pulls their weight is the jar. David already runs a jar on his job site. This is just what it looks like when you let it be the shape of the rest of your life, too. Give one thing this week in the jar shape and let what comes back actually land. Next time, we go a little deeper into why the jar holds up even when things get hard, and what keeps it from going back to being a well the first time someone in your circle has a bad month. watched over, as always, by Daisy.